Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Prayers by Queen Kunti, Text Number 17. Namate jo vinirmuktaya,
Atma
jai saha Krishnaya, Prayana bimukham Krishnam, Idam maha prita sati, Brahmate jo
vinirmuktaya,
Atma jai saha Krishnaya,
Prayana
bimukham
Krishnam,
Idam maha prita sati,
Brahmate
jo vinirmuktaya, Saha Krishnaya, Prayana Bhimukam Krishnam, Idam Maha Prita Sati, Brahmateja, the radiation of the Brahmastra, Viniyamuktai,
being saved from.
Atmajai, along with her sons,
Saha,
with Krishnaya, Draupadi,
Prayana,
outgoing, Abhimukham, towards Krishnam, unto Lord Krishna,
Idam,
this,
Aha,
said.
Prita
Kunti,
Sati,
chaste, devoted to the Lord. Thus saved from the radiation of the Brahmastra, Kunti, the chaste devotee of the Lord, and her five sons and Draupadi addressed Lord Krishna as he started for home. Purport. Kunti is described herein as Sati, or chaste. Why? Due to her unalloyed devotion to Lord Sri Krishna. Her mind will now be expressed in the following prayers for Lord Krishna. A chaste devotee of the Lord does not look to others, namely any other living being or demigod, even for deliverance from danger. That was all along the characteristic of the whole family of the Pandavas. They knew nothing except Krishna. And therefore the Lord was also always ready to help them in all respects and in all circumstances. That is the transcendental nature of the Lord. He reciprocates the dependence of the devotee. One should not, therefore, look for help from imperfect living beings or demigods, but one should look for all help from Lord Krishna, who is competent to save his devotees. Such a chaste devotee also never asks the Lord for help. But the Lord, out of his own accord, is always anxious to render it. So what's the point here? What's the point?
Always
depend
on Krishna.
Yeah. What else? Supporting that. That's the positive. That's the positive injunction. What's the prohibition?
Not to look elsewhere.
Yeah. Always look for Krishna. Don't look anywhere else. Any comments or questions? Let's see what else there is here. Ama Gyanatimirandasya Tinanjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unavitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Vinobishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadanayam Dati Svahatantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lankayate Glinja Kripa Tamaham Mande Sri Guru Dimitarinam. So this is the beginning of the very famous prayers of by Queen Kunti, which is the book prayers by Queen Kunti, and Prabhupada's lectures on those prayers given in Los Angeles in 1970 something or other, might have been 72, I'm not exactly sure. Well, there's a verse. There are many verses, but this particular verse is relevant. Rakhe Krishna mare Krishna rakhe ke. If Krishna wants to protect you, then no one can kill you. If Krishna wants to kill you, then no one can protect you. So, Krishna is the supreme controller. Ishvaraha Savabhutanam Hridesha Arjuna Tishtati. And he's directing the wanderings of everybody in the creation. Everybody ultimately is under Krishna's jurisdiction or under his supervision. Although in the material world, the material creation is actually indirectly orchestrated or coordinated by Krishna. It's the what is it? It's called Devi Dham. Devi Dham. That's the abode of who is Devi? Anybody know who Devi is? Durga. Yes, Durga. Durga. And Durga is possessing of Durga. Durga and Durga. Durga means a prison house. We're living in the prison house. What's the prison issue? You know, when you go to prison, then they give you a uniform. Right? When you go to prison, then you get to wear special clothes. So in this prison house, the clothing that we get, or the uniform that we get, is this material body made up of the five material elements, gross material elements. And then within the five gross material elements, there are the three subtle elements: mind, intelligence, false ego. And under the influence of karma, as described by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the whirlpool of karma, we become attracted to material existence, and that attraction pulls us into the material world. And that pulling is like a whirlpool, it spins us around. Karma. And you know, that subtle body is the vehicle that carries us to the different types of gross material bodies that we are given. The whirlpool of karma. Nobody wants to get caught in a whirlpool, because what happens when you get caught in a whirlpool? Something.
Sucked in.
Yeah, you get sucked in. And what happens when you get sucked in?
You drown.
Yeah. You drown in material existence. And you lose your life, which is spiritual life. Sucked in. You got sucked in, mate. That's what they say. You got sucked in. And we forgot who we are. We've forgotten who we really are. But Durga also, the material, we were discussing this the other day, the material energy also can facilitate our liberation also. Where we, by propitiating or pleasing Durga through the process of devotional service, this is how we worship Durga also, just as we worship all of the demigods. It's mentioned that the spiritual master is the representative of all of the demigods, right? So by worshipping the spiritual master, we're worshipping the demigods. But why are we worshipping the demigods and why are we worshipping the spiritual master? Here's the question. Why do we worship the spiritual master? Because here it says we should only worship Krishna, but we worship the spiritual master. So why do we do that? Yeah, because he's... And the demigods are also the representatives of Krishna. They should be seen as such. We don't worship them as equal to... This is the offence. Worshipping the demigods equal to or independent from Krishna. But we worship the demigods. Well, actually, we don't worship the demigods, but we worship the spiritual master who represents the demigods. And we're respectful also to the demigods because they're Krishna's representatives. And we please them as we please all living entities, actually, and as we please ourselves. If we want real and true satisfaction, we can only get that by worshipping Krishna. In fact, you know, the Guru doesn't say worship me. Well, indirectly he does say worship me, but you know, ultimately the message of the Guru is worship Krishna, not worship me. And as Prabhupada says, you're only worshipping me not because I'm such a great person, but because I'm representing the Lord. So in that way we worship the spiritual master, we worship the demigods as part of our devotional service, as part of our recognition of Krishna as the Supreme. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the Supreme Controller. Even though the demigods are working under his direction and so apparently appear like they're in control of the material creation, actually they're doing it under Krishna's direction. So in that sense, Krishna's directing everything. So, the method of getting out of that whirlpool of material existence is through the process of devotional service. That's the means by which one becomes liberated. And a very thoughtful considerate soft-hearted devotee understands that ultimately if I am to be protected, then I need to surrender to Krishna. Just as Queen Kunti and Draupadi and the Pandavas demonstrated their devotion, I also need to have the same faith and the same depth of understanding. That Krishna is the controller. He is the law. Ishvaraha. Sava Bhuktanam Ishvaraha. What is it now? What's the Brahma Samhita? Ishvaraha Parama Krishna. This is Lord Brahma's prayer. He's the topmost personality in Devi Dham. Right? Lord Brahma is the topmost. And he's offering his hymns, his prayers to Krishna from the most elevated position in Devi Dham, in the material world, in other words. Ishvaraha Parama Krishna. So this is his vision. He can see Devi, he can see the material world, he can see Mahesh Dham, he can see above that Vaikuntha, and then above Vaikuntha, Goloka. That was Lord Brahma's vision. That's what the Brahma Samhitas, a description of, is Lord Brahma's vision of the whole of the creation. And what's his conclusion? Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Ishvaraha Paramakrishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadi Adi Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. He's the cause of everything. He's the cause of my distress. He's also the cause of my happiness, the cause of my bondage, and the cause of my liberation. So the very, very thoughtful, soft-hearted, considerate, realized devotees is demonstrated by this dependence upon Krishna, this realization that Krishna is everything. And everybody's working under his direction. So let me take shelter of him, because he will help me. So what is this? What is this? This mood here. The characteristic of the whole family of the Pandavas, they knew nothing except Krishna. And therefore the Lord was also always ready to help them in all respects and in all circumstances. So what is that characteristic of the Pandavas a symptom of, do you think? What do you think that's a symptom of? Their complete dependence upon Krishna. They're surrendered. What is that a symptom of?
Love.
Love, yeah, I guess, yes, definitely, but, yeah. Yes, yeah. What else? Yes, they're pure devotees. That was like what I was thinking. They're pure. Pure-hearted. Janma kama chame... No, hang on. Anya vilashita sunyam jnana kama jnanavritam. So, their devotion to Krishna, or their desires, their devotional service is not covered by some material consideration. Because they're not actually asking Krishna for anything other than service. They're not asking for even protection. What's Lord Chaitanya's... Najanam najanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha tamaye mama janmani jamanishvare bhavatat bhakti ahoitaki twayi. The prayer of Lord Chaitanya in the Sikshastikam, which is an example of this mood. Nādanam, no wealth. Nādanam, nājanam, no followers. Nādanam, nājanam, nā. Sundari, no, you know, no beautiful
women.
Well, in that case, beautiful women, but, you know, not worried about aristocratic or sophisticated association. No followers. I'm not interested in followers. Neither nam nadi nam nav sundari, no beautiful women. What's the next one? Kavitam va jagadisha kamaye. Let my desire be to just render service to you.
Service.
Mama Jamini Jamanishwari, birth after birth. He doesn't even mind if he takes birth again. Pure devotee doesn't think, hang on, I want to go back home, back to Godhead. Even. But just let me do service, even if it means taking birth in the material world. That's very elevated, but to see. Of course, Krishna will elevate the devotee. Or he may even have plans for the devotee to return. You know, Prabhupada tells the story of how he didn't want to come to the material world, but Krishna persuaded him. Who's an example? Who's another example? Can anybody think of an example of a person who illustrates this kind of mentality of dependence on Krishna and not asking Krishna for anything for themselves? Who's that?
Narad Muni?
I'm not suggesting that Narad Muni isn't, but where's the example? Where's the pastime that illustrates this?
Prahlad Maharaj.
Prahlad Maharaj, yeah. Who else? Dhruva Maharaj. Gajendra the elephant. Gajendra. Dhruva Maharaj is not an example. Dhruva Maharaj is in fact used as an example of somebody who has some material motivation but got purified. Sadama the Brahmana. That was who I was thinking of. Sadama the Brahmana. Sadamana was pestered by his wife. You know, Krishna's your friend. He's living in Dwarka. Why don't you go and ask him for something? You know, he'll... Sadama actually forgot. He was so much in ecstasy that when he met... He forgot that his wife had nagged him into going there. He was thinking, actually it's a good idea. I can go and see my friend. And get away from my wife's nagging. And then when he got there, he forgot to ask Krishna for anything. He didn't... That wasn't actually his intention for going to see Krishna. And Dhruva Maharaj eventually became purified. Yes, it's a fact. When the Lord appeared, then he said, "No, I'm not interested in these things," due to his purification. And still struggling to think of how Narada Muni. I mean, he is a pure devotee, obviously, but where's the example? Narada Muni, being a pure devotee. What pastime illustrates that?
He was the son of Shudan, and then he served the Mahabharata.
Yes, I guess so. He was innocent. And enthusiastic in the association of the... So... Krishna reciprocates the dependence of the devotee in that those who are pure devotees, Krishna will help to engage in more service. You know, Lord Shiva is known as Asuktosh, which means easily pleased. The Prabhupada explains how Lord Shiva, he wants to do his bhajan, be absorbed in his meditation. And so when people come and pester him for things, give me this, give me that, give me the other thing, then he just gives it to them and get rid of them. He doesn't think necessarily whether what he gives them is good for them or not. He just wants them to go away. So Prabhupada explains it. Stop bothering me. Okay, all right, what do you want? Here you go. But Krishna's not like that. He doesn't give things that are not beneficial for his devotees. He wants the devotees to really benefit. The Shreyas as opposed to the Prayas. The Prayas means short-term benefit. But Krishna's thinking about the long-term benefit. What's good for my devotees? So sometimes the devotees experience setbacks even. And problems and difficulties. And from the mature point of view, it looks like they're not making any progress. But from a spiritual point of view, what Krishna is doing is deepening their affection and dependence upon the Lord. So long as they stick to this principle, always, you know, remember Krishna, never forget him. Always depend upon Krishna, don't go to the others, the demigods or any other personality for protection. Krishna is the supreme controller. He's quite competent and capable of looking after the devotees. And if there's some difficulty, that's his arrangement for our betterment. We may not immediately appreciate and understand that particular point, especially if we're experiencing some acute pain. And when you're in the acute stage of a disease and you just want to get rid of it, you're not thinking, oh, this is doing me a lot of good. It's just painful. Yeah. But one should look for all help from Lord Krishna, who is competent to save his devotees. Such a chaste devotee never asks the Lord for help, but the Lord, out of his own accord, is always anxious to render it. This is really pure devotee. When we're suffering, we usually think, oh, Krishna, please help me. So we immediately praying to Krishna, oh, help me. But a very pure devotee is just saying, just let me do some service. I know that Krishna will look after me. And if we can be in that mood, then, you know, we can always be happy, actually, even despite the difficulties. Okay, I might finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? The main point is, Prabhupada says it here, and therefore, good to look for the word therefore in a purport, because that usually means that Prabhupada's going to say, here's what you should do. And I mention this all the time, but it's a fact. The Lord was always ready to help them in all respects and in all circumstances. This is the transcendental nature of the Lord. He reciprocates the dependence of... Prabhupada used the word therefore twice, but it's here. One should not therefore look for help from imperfect living beings or demigods, but one should look for all help from Lord Krishna. Comments or questions? Realizations on this point?
We see that that's kind of each time after each difficult period, their Krishna consciousness always increases and their faith in Krishna always increases.
Yeah.
So while some of us, myself, so on the near part level, how do I train myself whilst going through difficulties, see that actually it's meant for my, it's going to make me much stronger in Krishna consciousness and it's meant to make me increase my attachment to Krishna.
Hang on.
What?
chant Hare Krishna. That's what you have to do, isn't it? What else is there? Jut Kud Japa. Kud Japa. Clears away everything. Kud Japa. Not listening to the mind. Sitting peacefully and just, you know. There's a really nice, I can't remember where Prabhupada says it. Maybe it's in the Nectar of Instruction, but Prabhupada gives the example that sometimes a pond or a lake is disturbed. You know, if you put your hand in and then just stir everything up. And so then the water becomes murky and nothing is clear. So the mind is like that. When there are disturbing situations and difficulties, then the mind just gets all whirled up, right? And everything's floating around inside. And you can't see anything. So, what's going on? So Prabhupada's solution is, he says, sit down and chant Hare Krishna. And then what happens? When you sit down and chant Hare Krishna, then everything settles. If you're chanting properly. Often I mentioned to one of the devotees this morning, you know, we're chanting and we're like. Now, what is that an indication of? Rajagun. Yeah, Rajagun. Lots of desires and lots of things, you know, spinning around inside the head. And it's making us, you know, shake. But actually, we should stop the shaking. We should actually stop the shaking and sit quietly. Because that is a symptom of the mind's being disturbed. But, you know, hanging onto the beads and shaking, it doesn't actually help. Better to just let it, you know, and it may take a few years to get this down. Or maybe even a few lifetimes, probably. But Prabhupada says if we just sit quietly and hear the mantra is so powerful, Krishna is so powerful, that the mind will become peaceful, clear, you know, settled. It should be settled when we're chanting. So it's practice. It takes practice, and you know, what will happen is also the mind will be peaceful, but then it'll come up again. Different things will come up. So, you know, then we have to learn to be able to just, you know, scoop those things off and put them aside. And then go back to chanting, and which means, you know, effectively it's this directing the consciousness back to serving Krishna. So the difficulties will come and they'll disturb us, but then we'll just have to accept that that's our service for the moment. Some problem or some difficulty, some situation. That's the service. And you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada recommends that we should see whatever service we have at this point in time has been given to us by Krishna. It may be given to us by the devotees, our immediate authorities, and those who are coordinating our services, but we should accept that service as it's just been personally given to us by Krishna, and that actually it is pleasing to Krishna that we do that, and that Krishna is accepting our service. So when there's some difficulty, we say, Krishna, well, this is what you want me to do, so now here's my offering to you. And, you know, that offering shouldn't be a tantrum, but rather it should be, here's my service, whatever is appropriate. And chanting Hare Krishna gives us the opportunity to have that revealed to us. We're chanting nicely, then Krishna reveals our service to us. Doesn't he? You know, you wake up in the morning, you're not sure what you should be doing. Or there's 25 million things that you should be doing. In fact, you know, my discovery is, in many respects, that, you know, trying to write everything down, of course I've had many, many time management sort of hints and tips, but I think chanting Hare Krishna is the best, because that keeps the mind peaceful, and then what we need to do becomes fairly clear. How does that sound? Alright? Yeah? Is that okay? Some practical tips. You know, from practical tips from the Hare Krishnas, just chant Hare Krishna. And you'll solve all of your problems. Anything else? Now, the Pandavas didn't need to do that because they were already on that platform. But we do need to do that to be elevated to that platform. We need to chant. That's what our morning program is for. Is, you know, go to bed early, wake up early, worship the deities, but specifically chant Hare Krishna. That's, you know, the process for this day and age is to chant. So the morning program really is meant for being in the best of moods, in the best of consciousness, well rested, so that we can just sit down and absorb ourselves in Krishna, in the mantra. Yes. What's that mode? What's that mode? A little bit of ignorance, but it's mainly passion, you know, attachment to the result. Is mode of passion, isn't it? Passion is characterized by intense longing and desire. Of course, it's okay to desire a result for Krishna, but also to leave it up to Krishna to provide the result. Isn't it? And what is the result? What is the result of our service? What do you think?
Different services,
different results. That's right, different results. Yep. And learning to be satisfied with that also. One has to learn to be satisfied with what he's got. You know? Which is not always easy. Because, you know, we see other people got stuff and we think, oh, hang on a second, how come he's got that? I'm more qualified than him. I should have it.
So it's not a false ego.
The result is false ego?
No, it's from false ego.
Yeah. What's that verse that comes to mind? Matschita sabadurgani matprasada tarisyasi atachet tvam ahankaram nasrosyasi vinamsyati. Matschita, you should think of me. Matschita sarva durgani is that word, durga. Durga means tough going, you know, hard going. So through all difficulties, you should think of me. And you'll, by thinking of me, mat prasada tarisyasi, you'll overcome all difficulties, all problems will be overcome. Atachet tvam ahankaram. However, if you think that you're the doer, ahankara, based on false ego, atachet tvam. So, you know, matschitam sabadurga. If you think of me, you'll overcome all problems. By my mercy, Krishna says. But if you think you are the doer, atachet, chet is chit, you know, if you're thinking, ahankaram, tvam ahankaram, I am the doer, you think I am the doer, nasrosyasi vinanchiti, you will not hear me. And you'll be lost. Right? So, why aren't I producing the result that I want? Or why isn't Krishna giving me the result that I want? So we have to see, you know, ultimately the results are as ordained by Krishna. And that's what Krishna wants. And sometimes, you know, he does that to show us that, well, we're not the doer. You know this, my Sankirtan story about not being the doer? Whenever we were going to India, then we had a quota we had to collect after the Christmas marathon for two and a half months or whatever. My quota was, I remember, usually around about $1,100 a week I had to collect. Which I could do. It wasn't too difficult to do it. One week, I decided that I'm going to be very enthusiastic this week and try with, you know, more endeavour than usual. That was my... And I went, but by the Friday, I had only collected $400. And I was thinking, how come I'm not doing so? You know, I'm not doing very well here. I'm being so enthusiastic and doing everything, you know, so-called spontaneously, and I'm not getting the result. So I was quite depressed about the fact that I hadn't got my quota. And because, you know, the threat was if you didn't get your quota, then you didn't go to India. So on the Saturday night, I think it was Saturday night, Saturday night probably, we came back because we used to stay out on Saturdays and we came back. And we had a 6-day week on Sankirtan. And we were out travelling. So on Saturday night I decided my penance for not getting my quota will be to just, instead of going out on the Sankirtan party, I went out on Sankirtan, but instead of being in the Sankirtan party and chanting, I decided I would hand out VTGs. That was my punishment for not getting my quota. Personally inflicted punishment. So anyway, I was handing out back to Godheads, and then this man came up to me, and he was being very friendly, and he asked me what I was doing, and you know, and I gave him back to Godhead magazine, and then he gave me a donation. And I looked at the donation. I looked at it, it was in my hand, but I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to open it up right in front of him to see what it was. But I saw it was US dollars. So I thought, oh, okay, nice, that's interesting. Hare Krishna. He's given me a dollar, so I put it in my pocket. And then after we were going home, I opened up the note, and then I discovered he'd given me $100. Huh? I was really blown out. I almost started crying, because then I realized that actually, you know, here I was thinking I was the doer, But actually Krishna was directing that man to come and see me. I didn't ask him for a donation, then he just gave me $100. So I realized that actually, you know, Krishna's the one who's orchestrating. Well, for a moment I realized. Krishna is and you know, we think, oh, now I'm endeavoring and so Krishna should reciprocate. It doesn't work like that. But I'm doing, because then you think I'm the doer. But rather we need to have a little more relaxed attitude. We go about doing our duty and we do it with enthusiasm and confidence that Krishna will provide us with the results in due course. And we've got results. We get results. Just that it might not appear as if we're the ones directly causing it. Right? But people come, take books, people chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam, you know. And it's hard to know, you know, exactly what we do, in one sense, that inspires somebody to reciprocate.
Sometimes we have a special guest or a Maharaj who comes for the Harinam and they finish and they leave the Harinam. And they finish early sometimes. And
they finish early? What do they think they're doing? Well, maybe they want to go home and go to bed and get up early. And so they're thinking about their japa in the morning.
Yeah, so if they finish early, I was just wondering if it's good for the rest of us to continue. And
so long as you get up early in the morning, it's okay. Yeah. You can. Yeah, no, it's not rude. Tony, what's up? Nobody's going to say, I've stopped, so why don't you stop? But they may have some other service to do. Usually, you know, a devotee will stop one service because they've got another service to go to. Yeah, that's what they're doing. They're going home and taking rest so they can get up in the morning. They might be older than you and so need a bit more sleep. Or who knows? They might be, yeah. I know if I go out, especially if I'm playing the Mrunga, I'm exhausted after an hour. You can just roll me up and tuck me in the bed. Yeah, the tendency is to think, you know, Prabhupada said, Atmavan manyate jagat. As I think, so the whole world should think. Huh?
Well, hang on, we should be chanting Hare Krishna for another 2 hours at least. Why aren't you all doing what I want you to do?
Huh? Don't you know that this is the Sankirtan, this is the Yuga Dharma? Anything else? No, let's finish here. Gandharva Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shiva Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Bhaktavinoda Ki Jai.